I'm Michaelyn Smith, and this is House Rules. Welcome to episode 19. It was time for me to get a new desk for my office. I'd been using a 60-inch round dining room table for 5 years, and it worked perfectly in our last house. As our boys grew up and moved out, we had an extra big bedroom where I could hang a pretty chandelier in the center, and a round table made so much sense to use as a surface in that big square room. I centered it right under the chandelier, and I had plenty of space to spread out. A creative's dream. When we moved, I claimed the downstairs guest bedroom as my office, and for the first year, I used the same table as a desk, but over time, I found it wasn't working as well. The table couldn't be centered because of the other furniture and the walkways, and there was no overhead light in the room, so I always kind of felt like I was floating. It was time for a surface with flat edges, so I could maybe put it against a wall. I couldn't even remember if I actually liked working against the wall, so I didn't want to buy a whole desk, pay a bunch of money, and wait for it to be delivered, just to see if I liked working at a rectangular desk against the window or wall. What's a girl to do? By the end of today's episode, you'll have 3 methods to practice the zero-risk way to make better decorating decisions in your home. It's house rule number 22. Test it before you invest in it. If you listened to episode 15, I told you about the kitchen in our fixer-upper. It was the first kitchen I ever got to design from scratch, and it for sure had its limitations. I was nervous about making an expensive mistake and unsure if what I saw on Pinterest would translate to something I'd enjoy and looking at in my own kitchen. We removed walls, and I wanted the largest island that made sense in the space. So I created a layout on graph paper. I used an online kitchen design program from IKEA, since we were using some of their cabinets. And of course, I taped out all the dimensions on the floor. But I still wanted to get a better feel of the actual space. So I pushed in a dresser from the family room to where the sink would be. It was almost the perfect height, and it helped me know where I would be standing, well, what felt like the rest of my life at the sink, and I liked it. It was kind of right across from the bay window. It was nice. There was one more thing I was curious about. So this was back in 2013, and those restaurant-style faucets were everywhere, you know, the kind with the gooseneck sprayer. And the faucet itself was really tall. It had those spiral springs on it. So this was going to be taller than any faucet I've ever had, and I wondered if I could kind of figure out a way to visualize that a little bit better. I walked around my house, and I found an umbrella with a hook handle that had the same feel as the faucet. So I looked at some measurements of the faucet I was considering, I measured the umbrella, and then I duct taped it to the back of the dresser right where my faucet would go so I could see how a big tall faucet in the middle of the kitchen island would feel. So I duct taped it so that the handle was sticking up like the gooseneck faucet. This was immensely helpful. I didn't actually like the look of the super tall faucet, so I lowered the umbrella handle until it felt right. And then I bought a faucet that was that height. And that's how I used random objects to create a real-life mock-up to help me make better decisions. If you subscribe to my weekly emails, I'll be sure to include that image of the umbrella taped to the dresser in my gutted kitchen so you can see it. And I'll put an after photo too so you can see what we ended up with. And I'll also add at least the before picture to the show notes at thenester.com. Another time I started with what I had and created a 3D mock-up was when we were ready to buy a new sofa. Decorating decisions never start in the furniture store, and I knew I needed a new sofa, and yes, I had pinned inspiration photos on Pinterest of family rooms that I loved, and then I looked to see what kinds of sofas they had, so I kind of knew the style and color of sofa that I was drawn to. But I also did not go right out and start shopping, even though I had the money saved and I had a budget. Instead, I knew I wanted to rearrange our family room now that we were getting rid of our sectional. But before I did, that sectional still had one more job it needed to fulfill. It needed to help me test out if I was going to like where I thought I could put my new sofa. So I rolled up the living room rug. I broke the sectional in half, or really I just unclipped it, and I pushed one half of it out onto the covered porch. It was a lot of trouble. I unplugged the television. I quieted the room. I took out all the smalls and tchotchkes and plants so those things weren't in the way. And I focused on the seating surfaces and storage placement. If you're in the cozy community, you recognize this as phase two in the order of decor. I use the weird half piece of my broken sectional as a placeholder to see where I could put my new smaller sofa that I wanted to get. I thought I wanted it in front of the windows, but I wasn't sure, and I needed to see something there so I would have more confidence. So I put the half sectional in that spot, and then I moved the TV around, found a great place for that, scooted my coffee table in front of the half sofa, and then I brought in some random chairs from our barn to put in front of the fireplace because I thought I might like seating there. So I shopped my house, which is house rule number 38, and I used what I had to help me test it before I invested in it. My half sectional helped me make better decisions because based off of what I had, now I knew that I wanted my sofa to be a few inches shorter than the length of the half sectional. I also knew that I wanted my new sofa to have a back that was a little bit lower. I knew I wanted a tight back, and I wanted one bench cushion. I used the sectional to make additional measurements about the depth and even how close the chairs should be in the family room too. So, of course, my family room looked ridiculous, but I'm telling you, this phase was priceless. Later that week, I walked into the sofa store like a boss. I knew I wanted an 80-inch wide, 38-inch tall, 40-inch deep English roll arm, tight back, bench seat, velvet sofa. I've never been more confident in a decorating decision in my life. And guys, it worked perfectly. I still have that sofa. This is my favorite way to test it before I invest in it. I do want to share two other ways you can test it real quick. One is simply to sample it. We've all taken home paint swatches and taped them to the wall. That's exactly what I'm talking about. That's a great way to sample it. An even better way is once you've settled on two or three colors, buy a couple sheets of poster board and a couple sample pots of the paint colors that you're considering and paint that poster board and move it around the room. Or of course, you could just paint the walls in different places. The thing is, the more trouble that you go to get it right on the front end, the less likely you'll make a bad decision or a decision you're unhappy with and have to start over. I would much rather have 18 different paint sample colors painted all over my walls and confidently move forward and know which one I love than to buy 10 different gallons of paint, thinking I've made a final choice, committing, and then realizing I had it wrong. It's worth it to test it, and I promise doing the work on the front end is much less trouble. If you're considering buying something like a new rug, lots of higher-end places will sell a little sample, and even though I know it's like $12 or $15, it is worth it. One of the members in the cozy community gave one of the best tips ever. She said if she's considering a rug that she can only see online, and maybe she wants a 10 by 14 rug for a family room, she will purchase online the smallest size rug they have. Usually that's maybe a 2-foot by 3-foot rug. Maybe she'll even order a couple different colors. So then she's got these small samples and she can see them in person. She can feel them. And she doesn't have to lug a 10 by 14 rug back to the post office to send back if it doesn't work. I just thought that was one of the best tips ever, another great way to sample it. The last way you can test it before you invest in it is to make a digital mock-up. So I don't really feel qualified to teach you like step-by-step exactly how to do this for everyone with every type of computer, but I can tell you what I do. I start with a photo of my room. So everyone's going to want to start with that. I like to make sure my room is quieted. So I, you know, take stuff off the surfaces, maybe take a few pillows off. I also turn off the lights and I wait for natural light in the room. And I stoop down. I call it like furniture level. You don't want to stand way up high like a giant is looking down on your room. You don't want to get all crooked. Like you want to kind of line up your corners. If you're unsure what I'm talking about, look on Instagram, look at Pinterest at a picture of a room, and you will see all the corner walls are straight. It's just going to help you when you do the next step. So you're going to load your photo into some type of program. So I have a Mac, and for me, I use Keynote or I use Canva, which I think there is a free version that you can use. You want to use something where you can remove the background of things that you're adding or layering onto your photo. I've also seen people do this just on their phone. So I think there are 1,000 different ways to do this. You could probably just Google it, but I want to tell you, this is another way, especially if I'm thinking about purchasing, I don't know, like when I was making a purchase for my dining room, I took a picture of my dining room with no chairs around the table because I wanted to sample or mock up chairs digitally. So I took a picture of my dining room table in natural light with no chairs. And then I loaded that photo into Keynote. And then I went to Wayfair and, you know, just different places where I was thinking about buying chairs from, took a screenshot of the chair, threw that into Keynote, removed the background, and just played with the scale. And it gave me so much confidence to make decisions. You can do it with rugs and art. You can do it with paint too. Even Sherwin-Williams has a paint color tester. You can load your photo into their website and try out different colors that way. Okay, so back to the story that I started with, which is my office. So I gave my round table away, and I definitely looked at online desks, and I created a pin board for my office and paid attention to what desks were in rooms that I loved. But before I moved forward, I decided to test it before I invested in it with a folding table that I had in the basement. I had a wooden folding table that we used in the past as a patio table. It was old and rustic, and the top is not perfectly flat. So I threw a linen sheet over it just so I could get a better visual. I wanted to practice with this rectangular table to see where I might like a real desk in my room. And I also knew that if I used the temporary patio table as a desk for a few weeks, I could get a feel of if I wanted something bigger or smaller or taller or shorter or totally different. Well, it's been 2 months, and I am still using the temporary desk. I actually love it. The shape allows it to almost butt up against the window. The size is perfect. My favorite part, surprisingly, is the fact that it's covered with a sheet. It's so welcoming. It's kind of cozy. It's something that I realized at my last desk with a cold marble top. I wasn't really drawn to. It was cold, and I don't know, it just made me not want to sit at it. But the fabric at my temporary desk has this surprising layer of coziness that I'm just not ready to part with right now. Also, because the sheet goes all the way to the floor, I have this hidden storage under my desk. I bought a little roll cart, and I keep all my ugly podcasting equipment and my second monitor that I use when I teach in the community. I never would have dreamed that this temporary fix would work so well. I'm not saying I'll never get a real desk, but this one is working surprisingly great, and currently, I have no need to change it. Test it before you invest in it is house rule number 22 out of 100 house rules included in my new book, you guessed it, called House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home, Style, and Budget. At the time of this recording, you can now pre-order the book and instantly claim one of the two thank you gifts. It's a video masterclass called House Rules in Action. Do you want to see that sheet-covered patio desk in my office that I use? I would love to show you. It's one of the 10 rooms in my house that we filmed where I shared what house rules help me make decisions in each room. You can pre-order the book now, you can claim your bonus, and you can be watching the House Rules in Action class in the next 15 minutes. I would love to take you on a tour of my house. You can watch the entire class in less than an hour with your kids if you want. Plus, when you pre-order, you'll also receive the audiobook free the week the book releases, April 23rd of 2024.